Parak Aleph starts, Umash Ve, Masha Amru Kan. It says Kan here in Brachas, Lam Mokoim, Chim Ba'avish Amru, Shatta Mishpal, Al Tas, Tfilos Lekeva, Al Rachman Tachnun, Beham Mokoim, Baruchu, Ramzu Chazal B'tevas Mokoim, Le'inyin Gadol. So what we're going to do is translate, I'm sorry, you have to stand it all the way. What we're translating here is the word makom. This is obviously continuing from what we learned in Shar Beis last time we learned, which is the last thing we learned in Perek Yudches. Chen Chasidim Arishonim Shal Yishoyim Shal Achas. Chasidim Rishonim would spend an hour of meditation before davening. Kadesh Yechavnu as Libam La Makom. Lamakoy. It's not an unfamiliar term to us, right? Ben Adam Lamakoy, Ben Adam Lachaver, Ben Adam Lamakoy. We're used to calling Hashem Makom. Hamakom Yirachem Alein. Yitzia Mitzray L'Ravacha. Hamakom. Hamakom Yinachem Eschem Asay Sharave L'Tzia B'Yirachem. A lot of times we use Hamakom without thinking too much about what it means. Hamakom. Hamakom means, in simple Hebrew, the place. So obviously it needs to mean more than the place. But that's where he's coming from, and now he's continuing the sentence. Literally, Shar Gimel, Perek Aleph, Masham Rukana, this that we just said, Kadesh Yechavnu Aslibam Lam Mokoim, Chen Ba'avay Samru Kishacha, Mishpal Atas Tfilos Chakeva, Ela Rachmim V'tachnunim Lifnei HaMokoim, Baruch Hu. Itself needs explanation. Ramzu Chazal B'tevas Mokoim Le'inyin Godol. We need to understand this. Before he goes into his whole warning here about how it's impossible to understand this, called Ibrahim Kigach Le'esh, let me just, and I myself don't understand this, so what am I talking for? At least I'm trying to understand what I don't understand. That's my, just to understand what the subject is. Basically, when we're talking about makom, we're referring to Hashem as a place. Place refers to a space. You can't have a place unless you have space, right? Something, place, makom. Say Hashem is called makom, is limiting the infinity of HaKadosh Baruch. So there's a general question in, many of us have pondered before, and that is that if Hashem is infinite, which he is, infinite not only means, as the Arizal says, that he has no self, he has no ashkala. Infinite is not just in one direction, infinite is in both directions. If Hashem is infinite, so created the world, so how does infinite turn into finite? So the simple answer is it doesn't. The world is one thing and Hashem is another thing. That would be the simple answer. Right? You don't have to go any further than that. How can some infinite being create something finite? Who says he does? But then the problem with that is that Malei Kol Haaretz Kevodoy. What else is there? Einoin Milvadoy. These are clear psukim, enoid milvado. So that means that there isn't something separate from Hashem. It's not like he created, like, let's say, I build a piece of furniture. So it's a piece of furniture. You can take it, you can sell it, you can use it. You can use it for avodah zarah, even though I built it. It's separate of me. But is it possible to say that anything is actually separate from a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Enoid milvado. It's one of the rules of Hashem, Einoin Milvado. So Einoin Milvado, it's not going to be simple for us to give the simple answer is that maybe Aristotle looked at it that way, that there was, maybe there's God, that there's the world, it's not Nogea.
Is the Bria finite or infinite?
Well, the Bria is obviously finite. You can see it under a microscope.
The totality of the Bria.
The universe? What's the Bria? So also you could see it with a telescope. In other words, unless you say you know, again, I'm not a philosopher, but just let's I presume most of us are not philosophers, either, so we're in the same, we're all together on this problem here. But you know, of course, there's an infinity to the fact that, you know, when you I remember, I think it was in fourth or fifth grade, I was in yeshiva, so the principal came in to speak to us. So I guess he was a philosopher, but I was a fifth grader. But he was talking about the fact, but it didn't make a roshan. He was talking about the fact of, you know, like, you're gonna go up, 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 you're gonna hit the sky, so you'll hit some kind of a wall, he told us. So now you make a hole in the wall, you go further, further. Where does this end? Another wall, so something's gotta be beyond the wall. So the Bria itself has a infinity. No, on the contrary, has infinity to it. Like, where, what's gonna stop? Where's that glass?
It doesn't go back in time forever.
Oh, so then you have time. So let me just don't mix me up. So the simple thing is, the simple thing you can't say, that's the point. The simple thing, Hashem created the world, he's infinite, we're finite, yesh me'ayin, in the more lubdisha words, Zoharic words, yesh me'ayin, the yesh came from ayin. How does yesh come from ayin, especially if we say, eidoin bilvata? Okay, so Hashem could create anything, so he can create something which is finite. I'll tell you, there's maybe six or seven shitas in this, but probably what's most interesting is the sheet of Reb Nachman Breslover and Torah Samach Tess, where he says, we'll understand it in Olam Haba. Basically, that's what he writes. He says, we'll understand it in Olam Haba. It's not something we're going to understand. But, okay, we're going to try anyway.
We have finite people. We have finite intelligence. We have a finite vision. We translate what we understand to be infinite into terms that we understand.
Right, which might be apocarsis, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, well, that's what we're learning.
Say kisei hashem book. Does Hashem really have a kisei?
No. I call mashal umalitza, but I'll tell you why this might be important, but like Reb Nachman, it's really not important. Reb Nachman says, it's really not important. You know, Balatanya, Nefeshachayim, you know, he was, the Reb Nachman was a contemporary of Balatanya. Really not important. It's not a Reb Dessler, you know, also said it's not important, but then he spent a long time, days and days, speaking with a very Choshev of Chabadnik. He said it is important. So, like, let's just, all we're doing anyways is scratching the surface. We're going to walk out of here thinking that, that we understand this. But in this sugya is the sugya of Tzimtzum. And the sugya of Tzimtzum is, how does yesh come from ayin? That's the sugya. Another sort of obvious wrong answer could be that, okay, malei kol ha'aretz kevodoi. So Hashem was mitzamtzem himself into the bria. Sounds very holy. He's mitzamtzem himself in the bria. So there's Hashem here, there's Hashem there, Hashem really everywhere. that's the. He's mitzamtzem himself into the bria, and that's it. Used to be infinite, and now he's finite. Spinoza. That's Spinoza 101. Zil Gemara, the 17 books that he wrote. I went to the library years ago and I said, I want to see Spinoza's book. Let me look inside, before there was an internet. So if she shows me a shelf, I said, okay, we're good. That's it. So I don't understand it. But the idea is pantheism. The idea of pantheism is that Hashem was mitzamtzem himself in the bria, which is clearly, so what are you davening? You're davening to things. This is avodah zarah. This is avodah zarah. And by the way, it's a beautiful avodah zarah, if I'm put it into that. In the sense that, like, it's a very Hindu. In the sense that everything is God. You know, you can see God everywhere. You can see God, and some things are more godly than others. You know, but God is everywhere. Hence, you go to India. There's a couple million gods. No, not one. A couple million. But there's different places where God was mitmaked, put himself there. So we don't want to be Spinoza. Why? Because then that's a desire. Well, that was not what Avramavinu recognized. So let's try something else. Not pantheism, but maybe what's called panentheism. Panentheism is where, just like Shitas, where Hashem was mitzamsim himself into the Bria, that's Yesh Miayim, but he was also not mitzamsim himself into the Bria, like he transcends the Bria also. So there's like Tzvezach, there's the Bria, which has the Metzias of Hashem in it, like Spinoza, and very, very subtle. But he's also, doesn't mean that's all of Hashem. There could be more to it also. So that's called panentheism. You can figure out the diktuk, but that's what, which I believe, by the way, is the Hindu philosophy, panentheism. I don't know, Hindu has so many different things, but I think that's their basic idea. And then you have Judaism. What do we hold about this?
What's
how do
problem?
We weigh in on this?
What's the problem with panentheism?
Nothing. But what happens, maybe nothing. What happens is that things have, does this have God in it? What does it mean, even, if it has God in it? God is infinite. So how could it have God in it? I mean, it's beautiful in a sense that, like, there's God in everything. And the Hasidim,
Torah Aleph and the Maran, Rabbi Nachman says in Torah Aleph that to see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Chochmas Hashem in each part of the
Chochmas Hashem. Mm.
Everybody says that.
Okay.
The accusation is
Hasidim,
they're
Panentheists.
Panentheists.
That was
there.
Yeah.
What do you say?
What's so bad about it?
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly doable. You know, it's not of a desire. Maybe, you know, it's, if you read, here's the scary part about it. I don't know what I am. I'm like, I'm Hasidish, I'm Misnagid, I'm everything in one. I'm like total schizophrenic. There's Avodah Zarah, and then there's what the Rambam calls at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Hascholos Avodah Zarah. So Hascholos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam describes that where people would say, I can't relate to an infinite being. This is the Rambam, Lashon HaRambam. I can't relate to an infinite being. What am I supposed to do with that? I can't even dive into an infinite being. So what I'll do is, look, Hashem gave Kolchos and Bria to the Shemesh, and to the Yareach, and to the Kechavim. So I'll dive into them. It's more relatable. It was very, very spiritual. We shouldn't think of the Oibdei Avodah as not Oibdei Avodah Zarah as not spiritual people. Very spiritual people. Very spiritual people. Very deep people. And try to find the Hashem in the sun, or at least the part of Kodesh Baruch Hu that he put into the sun. Is that all of Hashem? No, but that's what we can dive into. So that's panentheism. Is it okay? That's Hascholos Avodah Zarah. It's very interesting. The Rambam doesn't call it Avodah Zarah. He doesn't call it Avodah Zarah. He says, but what's going to happen? Meshech Hashanim, says the Rambam, is that you're going to forget about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, you're just going to worship the sun. So it's like a Gzeira.
Where is that connected to Hasidim? How is that connected to Hasidim?
What does everyone want from the Hasidim? I'd say, where is the Hasidim? Oh, why the Hasidim? Okay, yeah. we'll get to that. But, I mean, why? What do the Hasidim hold? So, and then let's take a third sheet here just to understand that Hashem created the world. It means that the world of what we're living in the touch and feel of the world, is the Or Hashem. Or Hashem. Or you said a different lashon, Chachmas Hashem. Or Hashem is Or. If you'll ask somebody, how much does that light weigh? How much does that color weigh? How much does the color green weigh? Might be a weighty color, but it doesn't weigh anything. And light is different. It's a different dimension altogether. So everything in science in the world takes up space and space time and Einstein and all that. But you could understand that basically there is no world. It's just the Or Hashem. It's like the world, like a movie which is being projected on a screen. you know, is that guy real? No. We could see him, we could talk to him, we could, you know, these days you could, you know, you could do, what do they call it, a virtual reality. But he's not real. Is that a real thing? I think Rav Kook, interestingly, you know, who weighs in on this subject, because he was, you know, yesterday we were talking about Nevi'im. So just interesting, there's a tzaddik, really a tzaddik, in Tveria, named Rav Dov Kook. Anybody hear of him?
Mm-hmm.
It's a tzaddik. You've seen him?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote, I think, 84 svarim. 84 svarim. Each one, you try to learn a paragraph of it. It takes a week. 84 svarim. He's like an Ilui from Ponovich. He learned from Ponovich, and he's a descendant, I guess, a nephew of Rav Kook. He's an Ilui, a Talmud Chacham. He wrote on all the yeshivas and masechtas. One day he went to Tveria to visit the kever of Rabbi Akiva, and he said to his rabbitson, no, this is where our neshama is. We have to live in Tveria. So, you know, you know, can't be Tzfas, you know. She was like, Tveria, like, you want to live in Tveria, you know. Like, hot in Tveria. No, Tveria, the show was in Tveria. Interesting fellow. He wrote more svarim, but he's very, very non-political and takes tremendous Talmud Chacham. And, you know, it's a very gewaldic Rabbi Morgenstern, who was a Mekubal in Yerushalayim, went to see Rav Kook, Rav Dov Kook, in Tveria somehow. It's not so easy to go see him, but I mean, if you saw him, it's good. It's not so easy to go see him, I tried. But they came, a couple of people came, and they're watching, and they both sat there quietly for about 5 minutes, and then they both burst out laughing, and then they both left. So we're talking about a whole different, you know, but Kubalim laugh a lot.
Rav Kook has
which Dov?
Dov Morgenstern?
Oh, no. Rav Morgenstern, the football. Yeah.
What's the first name? It's not Rav Leon.
No, not Rav Leon. I'm doing it.
It's Shemaya.
Thank you. Okay. I'm saying people start laughing. You find a Kubalim laugh. They talk to each other, they laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard that one before.
So the communication was. But anyways, what am I bringing him up? Because somebody asked him about his great uncle Rav Kook. You know, was he? What was he like? Mavoshin, or he learned to Mavoshin? He went to. He was a Mekubal. He was a Shaitis of Chabad. He was a Breslover. He learned to went to a lot of. Like, what was he? So he said, Rav Kook was a Navi. Navi. So, and a Navi transcends all the different political descriptions. He says, seriously.
Do you have a Besna?
Uh-huh. Oh, Rabbi. <Revenant. laughs> Navi. You know what? When I heard this, it gave me tremendous comfort. Like, in other words, not everything has to be, you know, and it's understandable that, you know, they tried to kill almost all the Navi'im. You know, the kings tried to kill him, people tried to kill him, we're controversial people. Like, what are you telling us? What do you want to learn? It was a Navi Latoy. But it made it clear in my head. It just something clicked in my mind. Okay, I can hear that. I didn't want to start yesterday with this, but it's interesting. The Yesh Nevuah, Bizman Azeh. But it's coming from a big Talmud Chacham, a big Tzaddik. That's how he's mocked. But there could be, as Rav Kook said, Hu Haya Oimer. Rav Kook said that I have no suffix that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kayim. I have a big suffix whether the world is Kayim. That's what he said. This is Lashon.
Rav Kook.
Ein suffix HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Yesh suffix, he doesn't say not, Yim HaOilom is Kayim.
But the suffix is Kayim.
Well, the opposite of a scientist. Like, I have no doubt that the world is here, but whether God's here is, you know, that's up to it's up to popular vote. No, Hashem is certainly here. It's good, so good guy, right? Hashem is certainly here. Whether the world's here is a suffix. So, you know, what do we do with that in our brain? So, like, the question of the thing is to understand, like, you know, is that real? When you see virtual reality, is it real? How do you know if something is real or if it's not real? Well, you can touch it, you can feel it. Okay, so Hashem is way advanced in technology. He can make it, like, totally real. So we're having a conversation right now. Is it real? So this is why? Because it was in his mind very difficult to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put himself into the Bria. And if you don't say that he put himself into the Bria, so then there's something outside of Hashem, or there's a Bria and then there's Hashem. So how do you work with this? So the Nefesh HaChayim, I apologize that I'm oversimplifying the whole idea of Tzimtzum, because obviously it was but at one time during the time of the Balatanya and the Gra, this was the big issue. And it's very interesting, by the way, as an outsider, if you will, how it drukes the chayis, because if you hold pantheistically that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can put himself into the Bria and yet transcend the Sudden Bria, which you're saying is the Shita of Chassidus. Did you say that? So it comes out that, you know, there's Makaymis, there's Anoshim, different places, and, you know, so you can't compare, you know, what's outside of this Beis HaKnesses to what's inside of this Beis HaKnesses in terms of the Metzius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in here. And you can't compare a Beis HaKnesses in Beit Shemesh to a Beis HaKnesses in Yerushalayim, and you can't compare a Beis HaKnesses in Yerushalayim to a Beis HaMikdash B'Kula. And you can't compare the Ezra Yisrael to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's more God in each one of those places. There's also in people. You can't compare, a Teitelbaum or a Schneerson or a Halberstam to a Haber. Just don't have that blood, you know. Like there's a certain Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, put a part of himself into it. But, you know, famously, talking about Gedolim, famously, you know, Rav Huttner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who I was able to learn with for a bit. So Rav Huttner used to learn, he had a Seder Kavua once a week with Lubavitcher Rebbe. He used to go to 770, and he used to learn with Lubavitcher Rebbe. There's much literature about this. And the last time they learned, Rav Huttner, and if you knew him, he was very strong. Rav Huttner walked out of the meeting with Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he looked very, very frustrated and flustered, and it always used to irritate him, apparently, because Rav Huttner was one of the Gedolei Hadar, but everyone used to gather around him and say, "What did the Rebbe say?" But this time, he walked out and he said, "Spinoza, Spinoza, Spinoza." That was his words. It's all Spinoza. That's where Rav Huttner said. So, That was the last time I learned, yeah. That was the last time I learned. And in fact, he became a Masnagid. He became a Masnagid at that point. But they were close, maybe. They went to university together. They were
in the Sorbonne, weren't they?
Yeah. Berlin, maybe. But anyways, I don't know the history, but the fact is these were two great minds. And the debate, obviously, if we could reverse engineer this and say the debate obviously was in the Inyan of Tzimtzum Gomor. And the question is, like, it's such a dachistic thing between pantheism, panatheism, and something else, which I believe is the Shita of Rav Chaim. I think it's something else. But I just want to say this, that the Vilna Gaon, just a historical statement, the Vilna Gaon, his entire, I believe that the Vilna Gaon was a gonad. I don't know, like the Kodesh Baruch Hu put him in the world. It was like a whole different type of mind than everybody else. No, it wasn't like smarter. It was just a whole different type of a thing. But he clearly, if you're a Grunnik and you follow it clearly, He had a it wasn't just learning. He was trying to undo the damage of Shabsai Tzvi. It's very important to understand that during that time, so much Masorah was lost. We were talking yesterday about Masorah. So much Masorah was lost because of the massacres and because of the Khalmansky massacres and Shabsai Tzvi, which was around the same time. So much was lost. So all of his, the Vilna Gaon went from city to city as a plain person. All of his goliath, the goliath agra, was mostly to find old manuscripts and to correct what was the correct girsa in the Gemara or in the Rashi or even in the Radak. the Gaon wanted to put everything together. And the way it worked was that if you had Haskama from the Gro, was the way the world worked at that time. If you had Haskama from the Vilna Gaon, not you were in. Not you're okay. If you did not get a Haskama from the Vilna Gaon, it was because you were out, still influenced by the Kabbalah, the Habalafian Kabbalah of the Shabsai Tzvi, and by the Frankist. And he was very, very worried about this. So it wasn't just a superficial thing, I don't like anything new. It wasn't that. When he saw anything that was Shabsai Tzvidek. So with this, he corrected the whole Bir Agra to find the right gears in the Hagon, the Rutz, the Makar. Everything has to be part of the... I'm just digress, tell you a good Hasidic story, or a bad Hasidic story. But it was the Rebbe of Zusha. So the Rebbe of Zusha, but he came to him and he said that he's having dreams. He buried his father and he's having dreams day after day. His father's coming to him and telling him to baptize himself. His father was a rock. So he went to the Rebbe Reb Zusha and he said, they're just these dreams day after day. It's becoming very aggressive, the dreams. So the Rebbe Reb Zusha said that probably if you'll open up his kever, you'll find a Salem in his kever. Somehow a cross got into his kever and it's causing this kind of short circuitry that's going on, and that's the dream you're having. So open the kever. So don't open the kever. So they opened the kever and there was not a cross in the kever, but there was somehow or another, there was coins in the kever somehow that fell in or something, and it wasn't exactly in the shape of a cross. And he said, oh, that must be what the Rebbe meant. And he took out the money, and the dreams stopped. So somebody went to the Gra and told him the story and asked him, what is this? What is this? Is this Torah? Is this witchcraft? Is it okay? Is it not okay? What is it? So the Gra said that it's okay. He said it's a Mefurash Yerushalmi. So Yerushalmi says that if something like that if you have an Avodah Zarah in your kever, it'll cause an imenuchas nefesh for the mace, and therefore you have to be menach of the kever. So the Gra says the only kash on the whole story is that how did the Rebbe know the Yerushalmi? That was what the Gra said. That's written. How does the Rebbe have to know a Yerushalmi? So they went back to Reb Zusha and they told him what the Gra said, that it's okay, but like he had a Pella, that, you know, you see how all the politics are. It was a Pella to him that you know the Yerushalmi. So he says, right, I don't know the Yerushalmi. Okay, so what do we do with this? I don't know the Yerushalmi. So the Reb Zusha said, famously, but I know it from the same place that the Yerushalmi knows it from. So it gets better and better, right? Okay. Yeshayahu Beistina. Yeshayahu Beistina. That's the Yirmiyo Beistina. So let's learn a little bit of Nefesh HaChayim. Mashamru Kan La Mokoyim. We refer to Hashem as a Mokoyim. One of the things that the Rav predicted, just to finish the thought, was that once you say, however you understand it, that there is God in that person, let's say, you're going to end up, it might take six, this lashon of the Gradnach and his Chayrim, it might take six or seven generations, but you will end up worshiping that person. That's what he says. Because once you say that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in there in a different type of way than he's in everybody else, so it stands to sakana.
That doesn't mean that it's wrong.
It's exagerated. But it means that he was smart. So in other words, the Grum self, just to understand, wasn't so much arguing philosophically as he was worried about, like, this is what the Gedolim do. They're able to worry and think six steps ahead. That's the shot in Gedolim. They're like, just way ahead of what's going to happen.
Is there a distinction between talking about the koach of Ribbono Shel enabling something to continue to exist versus the Ribbono Shel himself? In other words, a lot of
proportion. But that's not panentheism. That's another madrega, which I think is Or Hashem. Like I said, the movie. He allows it to exist. Does it really exist? That's what Rav Kook says. Does it really exist? Is that called Kayam? There are many, many places in the Torah where it's mashma that the world exists.
Okay,
so diuk is that Hashem is the place. What do we learn from that? Ramzuzal b'tevas makom l'inyan gadol v'inyan tzarich bir l'havin oimek havanosim v'zeh ulemispar kroy haroimzim alzeh v'kfar amru chazal ba'avos shekol divrayim kegachalei esh. Introduction. But in Parker Avos we say that the words of Chazal are kegachalei esh, they're like coals of fire. Shekamai hagachilis, you look at a coal, afshalei nirabo rak nitzot esh, it doesn't look too threatening. Coal, you don't realize how hot it is. Nitzot esh, whispering. Im tasam kechachaba, here's some nice lahafkal enough, however, if you stir it up, or if you blow on it, kol shenisnap chayoyser, the more you blow on it, tislai v'tisbashit ba'anitzot, you'll see more fire. Achetase kulo lecheshes, until the whole coal is whispering. V'tuchalei hanois mimeno, and then you could have more hanof from it. The more you whisper on the coal, the more heat's coming from the coal. L'shtamash lo'oiro l'schamim neido, avarag neido. But you don't want to get too close to this coal. So you don't hold it in your hand. Shekivin shenasas lecheshes, once it's whispering, see, there has to be some kind of a great omen to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu began his career by touching a hot coal, putting it in his mouth. It's not just like a, you know, an accident, you know, case 607 in the Egyptian hospital. This was something very urgent. Kamedimian Zen Nimshalu called Divrei Chachamim. We need to understand called Divrei Chacham. Shaf Shinirim Zvarim Kitsarim or Keshutim. Chazal seems so posh. Avalim Kipatish Yifoitzitsu. But it's like sparks coming out of a hammer. Shakosha Adam Ahapech on a salsal, a medactic behem. The more you're medactic in a Chazal, your Uru Eno Mishal Heves Urim Hagadol, the flame becomes more and more bright. Shimsa Batoichim and Yonim Amukim. Kamar Chazal hafachba v'hafachba dekulaba. Avol sarach lizar ma'oid begachalosan. At the same time, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Chazal, talking about Chazal. You know. So elikanis lispoin of alachker b'dvarim she'ein arishus nesuna. This is the side of arba nichnasu lapardes, etc. Try to get and nichva. You see, Elisha ben Avuya was burnt, possibly destroyed, from the experience of getting too deep into the shame hamafarish, as Taisu says. Kamram shavim mischavim keneged oiren shel chachamim, haynu kenehavim mischavim keneged oiren shel chachamim. Enjoy the words of the chachamim, but from a little bit of a distance. Haynu shaloi lisrachik milisponim klal b'divrei. So we don't have the right to just stand back and not think about what Chazal say. Whoa, that's too dangerous. I don't learn Kabbalah. Kalo yenami oiren klal, because then you're not going to have any hanah. And you also can't get too close. Okay, now, with that introduction, I'm trying to keep the correct distance away from what Chazal are saying. Let's just take a couple minutes and read the words of the paragraph of the chapter. Same issues when it comes to the word makom. Hagam shivshutoy, move on. Even though clear, makom. Al kishin zdak dek boi nimsa shaklole ramzu baza oidin yin gadol. It's very deep. Makom. It is strange, by the way, that we call Hashem makom. But Yaakov Avinu says, vayifka ba makom. Not that he got to the place, he reached Hashem. Makom. Ki inyan mashu yisbarach nikra makom. This that Hashem is called makom. Pirshu zal bebrashis rabba al pasuk vayifka ba makom. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Ami Omar mipnei ma mechanan shmoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'karen oisei makom, mevor she chazal. Why does Hashem call makom shehu mekoymoi shel oilom ve'ein oilomai mekoymoi? Now this is, everybody knows this chazal, but I for one don't know what it means. I'm just, shehu mekoymoi, let's just figure it out for a minute. Shehu mekoymoi shel oilom ve'ein oilomai mekoymoi. Shmoyis Rabba says Parshas Mem Hey, B'Tanchuma Parshas Isa, V'Yemer Hashem Hinei Mokim Iti B'Nikras Atzur. Amar Rabbi Yosi Rab Chanina Asri Tzfeilu Liv Me'ein Ani Tofil La Asri. V'Chein Iser V'Soicher Toiv Tilem Is Mertzad.
That's Rav Kook. That's Rav Kook's statement.
Yep. Well, if he pshuta ratza loymer, what's the pshat? K'moy sham mokim. That just like there's a mokim. So let's say like this. We say there's a world, a yikun, a world, universe, a world as we know it. And as expansive as it is, and Hashem, that world is the keli for Hashem. That's one way of saying it. Like you know, the Kutzker said, where is Hashem? Wherever you let him in. True or false? Wherever you let him in. Malei kol aretz kavod. You mean wherever you let him in? And if you didn't let him in, what happens? Not there. It disintegrates, dies, the plant dies, what happens? So what does it mean? What did it even mean? I mean, obviously he was addressing the Indian of Tzimtzum, but what does it mean? Wherever you let him in. Although it sounds beautiful. Where is God? Wherever you let him in. Beautiful. You can make a whole, you know, you can make a whole nugget out of that. But it's not, the pashtus is not philosophically tenable. So to say that the world is the makom, this is the big keli that's holding Hashem, no. Elamai, Hashem is the big keli. Ein ha'olam mekoymai. It's not that I live in this world, which we all think. I think Hashem is in this world. Not that Hashem lives in this world, but the world lives in Hashem. So the big keli is Hashem, which is infinite. So it's not a keli at all. And as some type of a dot inside that huge infinite keli is a piece of finitude. And that finitude is being held up by a Kadosh Baruch. You see the difference? Understand the difference? So there's a pasha. What's holding? Where's my safer? Where's the safer? It's on the table. So the table's holding the safer. Where's the table? Under the safer. So it's almost semantics, right? In other words, But what we're saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the makom of the world. It's not that he lives in the world lives in him. So it means that what? That what's the world that lives in him? If he's, Hashem is infinite, and then there's a world of finitude that lives inside of this infinity. So what does it mean? Like, how did it, what does it mean?
Why is that problematic?
Why is it problematic? Because, okay, so then we're saying, is there something other than Hashem?
Yeah, within Hashem, he allows things to exist in the physical realm. He created us.
So then it comes out that this thing is infinite.
It's connected. Has some part of infinity in it.
So some part of Hashem in it.
Rebbe. Or a koach. I asked before.
But I'm just saying, does it have some part of Hashem in it or not?
Are we making a distinction between the koach Hashem versus Hashem himself?
Well, Baal HaTanya doesn't make the distinction. Baal HaTanya says that if this is ein olam hu mekoymo shel olam, but you can't have something which is kayam unless it has some infinity in it. And Mechori can't have anything unless it has Einoi Movada.
Okay.
So in the Einoi Movada Gufa, you have a problem of now this became God.
Why did it become God?
Why can't you say Hashem created this finitude in a way that the beings in that finitude have perception? And they can have a perception of Hashem's presence or a perception of Hashem's not presence.
Good, very good.
And we can't understand if you can bring out the perception of Hashem in that finitude through your hope. But the reality is that Hashem is actually really there all the time.
Okay, you're saying a whole thing, but what it means is that Hashem can create whatever he wants. So he can create something that he's not part of. Emes? Sure to say, because there's Malakol Aris Kavayda. Hashem is everywhere, wherever you let him in. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is really everywhere.
That's in principle Ashras Ashkina. So you have Ein Sof.
Shchin.
Right, so Shchina represents the Olam
HaTachton. Right. That's not what he said. That's not his chat. What I'd like to do, instead of guessing, let's just finish this chapter, and then I'm here to Hashem on Thursday. I want to learn the Tanya and then what he says about it. Tanya, if you want to look in advance, is in Chelut Beishar Yuchud Ve'amuna, Paragimel. That's where the Baal Tanya speaks about this. And then again, at the end, in the Igros of the Tanya, where he's even more explicit, because he's actually going against the Gro. And that he's defending himself against the group. But anyways,
so look.
Shar ha'yichud ve'amuna parakim. Olvim shutai ratzalai mar kamoi sha'amakum husay v'lo machzik ezadavar v'chevetz ha'machalav. Kein b'dimyon zeh ha'borei adoin kol yisbarach shmoi. Adoin kol yisbarach shmoi. Hu ha'makim ha'amiti. Hashem is the makam. Hasoivel, and he fartrugs everything that's in that makom. Hasoivel, umakayim, hoilomois, rabriois, kulam. Shim chas v'sholom yisalek koichoi mehem afrega achas. So if Hashem, being that the makom is other than Hashem, if Hashem would just be yisalek his koichois, then this would simply cease to exist. Efes makom kiyam v'chias kolei lomois. So that Hashem would, chas v'sholom, Masalik himself from the world. So it's not that the trees would die or the water would stop flowing. That's not what it would just cease to exist. It wouldn't exist. Like shutting off the projector. Like shutting off the movie. It's not like, it's not like you shut off the projector and everybody on the screen dies. So it comes out that the world is not even Kayim. That's what Rav Kook says. The world is really not even Kayim, according to this. But is that what's going on? I mean, that's what the question is. What is that what's going on? In other words, or is there like this new thing, which you're introducing here, of the Shechina,
That might be also in
Well, Shina doesn't help, by the way. Is it Shina because it's
Gilui. Infinite Gilui.
Gilui, or. Yeah. Or. Projectors, or.
It is Hamakom Baruch Hu. So when the Nefesh HaChaim says in Shah Aleph, Perak Aleph, about Baruch, his Tosefes Ribui in the Turin Sinchei. So that's also a function of that. So if the Tosefes Ribui stops, then the projector stops.
Okay, but it's all or. Or doesn't weigh anything, or doesn't take up space, or is just or. I mean, in other words, if you're understanding it or, then the world is not kind, as we understand it, which is a chizuk in a way. At least it's a relief. Like, okay, Baruch Hashem, it's not really here, it's not really happening. But there's no wars, there's no death, there's no Holocaust. It's not real. It's not real. But what? You feel better. But then you also don't exist. That's the problem. Right. No, it's hard to wrap your brain around because, as you said, our brains are limited to our own experience. So it's very real. What we're experiencing is very, very real. But I'm just saying that you could say philosophically that the world is not really kayam, but what's the most important lusik thing out of it is enoid levada. In the final analysis, all the laws of nature that we're worried about, and human nature that we're worried about, which would be gravity and wars and money and all these things. Be'etzem, if you have the correct amount of emunah and you understand it correctly, it all really doesn't exist. It's just I'm not saying that this is the Amazon, I have no idea. I'm just saying that, but it is philosophically tenable. Perhaps most philosophically tenable to say that we don't exist altogether, from an existential point of view, we don't exist altogether.
All of these shittas that we're looking at entail struggling with paradox, and there's a chazal, I don't know where it comes from. Yesh teva kayemes l'min nayim b'chek haboyer. In other words, what we understand as a paradox, what appears to us to be paradoxical.
That's what Reb Nachman says. Look, Hateva is Gematria Lekim.
Why is
that? How's that for
a... Reb Nachman says it's Ein Teva Boil.
Hateva is Gematria Lekim.
It's like the Ramban says, that even Teva is Nisim Hashem B'Seisa.
That's Reb Nachman.
But why is it? Well, how can it be tenable to say that we don't exist when the Ribbono Shel Olam in Bereishis says that He created us? How can that be tenable that we don't exist when the Torah says He created us?
What's the definition of creation? That's the
whatever it is, we are.
Yeah,
it's more than what was before when there was nothing.
A movie producer also creates a movie.
Okay, so we could be
creates a movie.
But that exists.
If you kill off physical reality, you never kill off everything.
Still have substance, form, and wisdom. Light and Ria, everything was separated. It doesn't go call it to whether it's how it exists or whether it exists separation. Okay, let's put it in Hasidic terms and then we'll go home. Symptom. The Arizal calls it symptom. Sefer Yetzirah calls it Tzimtzum earlier than the Arizal. Tzimtzum. So Tzimtzum can mean that Hashem was Mitzamtzum himself into the Bria, which Rav Huttner called Spinoza. I'm not sure that's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said. He wrote a letter about this through the Rebbe. But that's what Rav Huttner said. Spinoza, if you say Hashem was Mitzamtzum himself into the Bria, it's pantheism. Or you can say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took himself out of the Bria. I mean, Tzimtzum can mean, we know there's such a thing as Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum can mean is that he made this Gashmis and he removed himself from that Bria. I'm not sure what that's called.
That's the Cholol HaPanim.
Huh?
That's the Cholol HaPanim.
Yeah, that's Mekubalim on his head. Or you can say that he put himself as Tzimtzum in the Bria and then he transcended it into a higher place. So let's say we have three basic shitas of Tzimtzum, all of them with their ramifications, and historical ramifications, and what can go right. How are you oivet as Hashem? That's all I care about. What is the correct way to be oivet as Hashem? What are you being oivet? Who are we? Who is he? Who are they? V'hu pinas yisoid amunas Yisrael, k'ma shekazav Rambam b'reish sifrei, v'lchein k'ra b'zayil adon kol yisbarach shmoy, nishmasa d'chol nishmasa. HaShadosh Baruch Hu was called the nishmasa the nishmasa, which was important. We learned about that. Just like our neshama is roya vein or nira, just like our neshama is there, but nobody it doesn't show up on an MRI. You know, oh, there's the neshama. You know, so but yet the neshama is empowering the whole, our whole life to be, and we're okay with the neshama idea. Shechzarta bi nishmasi v'chemlo, we say it every single morning. So the same thing, the world has a neshama, and the neshama is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mekubalim say, nishmas dechol nishmas and kosh anashama machayel machayem as haguf v'chiyav shilachatichas baser gimel yamim. Right, you can't live without an neshama. Kain hu yisbarach shmoy hu levado chayoy lamim kulam akidub b'mkaymes rabbis b'tikunim v'ray mehemna v'ayin b'reish hakdam v'shniyah shal tikunim b'maymer pesach aliyah v'chein rabbi senuzel dimu kiyum kol oylam ayde koycha yisbarach l'kiyum haguf ayde koychas anashama. You see in Chazal that the world is created in a way that it's being powered by the neshama, with neshama being Hashem. Ma neshama mala v'zana es kol haguf, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mala v'zana. Zeh pashtus inyan shu yisbarach nikar mekay mishalil. That's the easy shot. But the next, what we have to learn is, what's the real shot? He says, Omnam pnimis inyan mekay mishalil inyan gadol moy. We have to get into the pnimis. So everything we just said now, I'm just giving a bit of an introduction to all the different possibilities. But what we need to learn is the Nefesh HaChaim, and I want to learn together with the Tanya, just so we can see if there's, in fact, the difference between them. I hope there is, because we've been arguing about this for centuries. So it solves the argument. But like, what is this Indian of Mekayim Mishalot?